This is Scott Berguin from KSOW LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We are checking back in with Leah Bolger, who is, as we talked to her on the phone, sitting in the office of Peter DeFazio in Washington, D.C. She's a member of Veterans for Peace. She's at Camp Democracy in Washington, D.C. She's doing a lot of things, but as we said, right now, I think waiting to meet with the congressman or at least one of their aides. Hello, Leah.
Hi. Hi, Scott.
That was a long introduction.
Yes. That's all right. We're in Congressman DeFazio's office, and the legislative aide, the congressman is evidently on a plane today traveling, and it won't be available for us to speak to, but his aide says that this matter is under the jurisdiction of the Eugene office, and that they don't handle that here in Washington. And even though the Eugene office has been contacted repeatedly by Sarah Rich, Suzanne's mother, and a number of other people, they haven't launched an investigation, and that's what we're asking for. I mean, mm-hmm. We don't understand why. Suzanne was apprehended in her mother's house, arrested in the middle of the night on June 11th. It is now September 12th, mm-hmm. and there's still no action on getting her an honorable discharge and the treatment for the PTSD that she is suffering as a direct result of the sexual assault that she regularly endured night after night after night by the sergeants that were over her in her chain of command in Iraq. And we're not going to leave here until we get some answers about why this has to be. Now, this is the really, just appalling part of it, that two of the three men that are guilty of assaulting Suzanne have been discharged with honorable discharges. And Suzanne is, although she hasn't been charged with anything, is facing court-martial for going AWOL to protect herself.
Mm-hmm.
Because she couldn't count on her own, the Army to protect her, she said, I'm going to have to take care of myself, and I'm not going to put myself in harm's way again like that.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes AWOL, and she's arrested, and now she's just in a limbo state up at Fort Lewis doing menial chores. Originally, they sent her back up to Fort Lewis and put her with the same man that had been assaulting her in the same unit. I'm flabbergasted by this information. So what I understand now is that she's no longer attached to that same unit, but she's walking around the base picking up trash, and she's not being treated for her post-traumatic stress disorder. Her mother says that she is not doing well. She's not coping well with her situation, and we want her to get an honorable discharge, and we want her to get the medical treatment she needs and deserves.
Okay, well, one question before we talk more about the situation with Congressman Peter DeFazio, who is from Oregon, for those listeners from outside of Oregon. But is there any word on the case, on Suzanne's case, in terms of what she charges against her superior officers while in Iraq and the sexual assault? Is that investigation going forward, or do we know anything about that?
Well, that's what we're trying to find out. I mean, the last time I spoke with Sarah Rich, she said that there was an investigation ordered by the chain of command, but the investigation was investigating Suzanne's AWOL, not the men who assaulted her. So evidently, nothing's been done to investigate these men, and how two of them are out. They're now civilians.
Well, eventually,
I'm not sure how easy it's going to be to prosecute them now that they're out of the Army.
Right, one has to wonder what that does, if that puts them in a status where they're a bit harder to reach.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it was just appalling, though. I can't understand why nobody is reacting to this.
Mm-hmm.
This is our own people.
Right.
Listen, I want everybody to call Peter DeFazio's office. If they can call the one here in mm-hmm. Washington, I have the number for that,
okay.
Or the one in Eugene. The office number here in Washington is 202-225-6416. You don't have Eugene.
Okay.
And Scott, I'm sorry, I don't have the Eugene number with me.
That's okay. We'll get it and add it on to the end of this
conversation.
Okay, terrific.
But we need to put some pressure. People need to call every day until this matter is resolved, because every day that goes by, Suzanne is not getting the help she needs. And here's what's really upsetting, is that when you talk to Suzanne, when you talk to Sarah Rich, you find out that Suzanne's just one. She's not unique.
Mm-hmm.
That this is the same treatment is happening to thousands and thousands of women in combat, junior enlisted women who don't have the power to speak up for themselves, and they don't have any recourse. And when they do report these crimes that are being committed against them, they're being laughed at. They're being given extra duties and told to shut up about it. And it's appalling. It is absolutely appalling. So we want a full investigation into this. You know, the Congress investigated Tailhook, and Congress investigated the rapes at the Air Force Academy. Congress needs to investigate what's going on with our military women.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like the response you're getting so far, and let's hope this changes, is quite frankly very bureaucratic. Basically,
yes.
If it's not our responsibility,
yes.
It's theirs. Well, are the two offices not the same under the same congressman?
Yes, exactly. And that's what we have a spokesman here from Iraq Veterans Against the War who mentioned that to the legislative aide, that this is Peter DeFazio's office, and this is one of his constituents. And if the Eugene office hasn't handled it, then they need to be accountable for results here in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And, this has now been, July, August, September, 3 months now.
Three months.
Woman has been not locked up in jail, but in a metaphorical jail of the emotional injuries that she's suffering and being stuck on this base around the people that harmed her.
Mm-hmm.
So, so this gentleman here in Washington is saying, oh, well, that's Eugene's problem. They handle all that. We just handle legislative affairs here. So I'm sure, Peter DeFazio is known to be a very compassionate, progressive congressman, and he's, his approval ratings are very high, and that's why it's really, we're not understanding why he hasn't taken some action on this, because normally you can really count on him to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just thinking maybe that there's some kind of communication gap that Congressman DeFazio just doesn't know
mm-hmm.
what's going on. But he needs to make, all this could be solved if Congressman DeFazio would call Suzanne Swift's chain of command in Washington at Fort Lewis and say, I want to know what's going on with this. Then the wheels would start turning,
mm-hmm.
but evidently that hasn't happened yet.
Well, it is a baffling thing, because as you said, DeFazio is known as a compassionate progressive by many. I don't think every 2 years, of course, they have to rerun, and he's running again this
mm-hmm.
November.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is, I don't know the exact totals, but it's not like he's, it's nip and tuck, like he's real close to being defeated
right.
or something.
Right.
He's in a district. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying, I can't understand why taking action, compassionate and appropriate action
mm-hmm.
in this case, would lose him votes anyway.
Right, right.
I mean, he's going to lose votes if he doesn't take care of his constituents
right.
and all the women in the military. You know, Suzanne Swift is just one of thousands, and she is one that had the courage to speak out and take a stand, and we don't know how many other women she represents.
Mm-hmm.
And there are women soldiers in every congressman and congresswoman's district that are suffering the same way
right.
Suzanne has.
Right. Well,
so this is something everybody needs to get involved with.
Like many, maybe yourself, I've received letters from Congressman DeFazio basically describing why he still votes for funding for the Iraq War.
Yes,
and his
yes.
reasoning is that he has committed to the soldiers that he will continue to fund them to keep them safe, you know, the best equipment and all that. And I wonder, I mean, it seems to me that protecting the soldiers in the sense of protecting the female soldiers from sexual assault is really just as important as getting them the best body armor, because here
absolutely.
You have one soldier,
absolutely.
And as you say, there's many more mm-hmm. women, and I guess in some cases even men that are in this situation,
yes,
that they not
correct.
Only suffer from the the situation they're in terms of the war, the violence, and that whole situation, not to mention the reasons why they're there, they also have to protect themselves doubly so from
That's
their
correct.
Own, the people they should be able to trust the most. So it's
yeah,
just...
Absolutely. And that's right. And I asked Congressman DeFazio why he wouldn't support Jim McGovern's Bill 4232 to end funding for the war. And that's what he told me, is that he had made a solemn promise to the troops to support them with the equipment they need, but that he needs to understand that that solemn promise to support the troops includes taking care of their emotional well-being and justice for people who have committed crimes against their own soldiers. This is just appalling. It's appalling.
Right. Well, he also needs to know, of course, that if he doesn't support the funding, that if the funding was cut off, the first thing that happened wouldn't be they'd remove all their equipment but leave them there. You know, I mean, it's an interesting argument, and one that maybe we'll never know really what's behind his stand. But there you are. Okay, you're in D.C. You've got this very important issue that you all are dealing with now, which is one of the incredible things about the actions that have been going on, at least in my mind, in D.C., over the last few months, starting with the Troops Home Fast and continuing now into Camp Democracy and continuing on for the most of September, is that the folks there are not just sitting in the grass out there by the Washington Monument and chanting and holding signs. They're actively lobbying and doing workshops and all sorts of things to keep active, but also to keep the pressure up. And, of course, this sitting in or being in Congressman DeFazio's office this morning is just part of that. Could you tell us a little bit more about what you all have been doing? I think you're going into your second week there now with
That's
Camp
right.
Democracy.
I wanted to tell you about an incident that happened a few days ago. I believe it was on Saturday. The Pentagon had... the Pentagon had their first open house they've ever had since 9/11, and there were five young men from Iraq Veterans Against the War who served in combat in Iraq, who went on tour at the Pentagon, and they left behind in the Pentagon chapel some information on depleted uranium. Depleted uranium I can't even explain it without...
It's a poison, basically.
Yes, it's a poison, and it is something that we have poisoned our own people with and Iraqis with, because this depleted uranium, it's given to the government from the nuclear power companies because they have trouble getting rid of the toxic waste, so they give it to the government who uses it to make weapons, the bunker busters, the armor-piercing weapons. There's enough radioactivity in there. There's enough. I'm not a nuclear scientist, so I can't explain this very well. But it's depleted enough that it does not provide power source like in a power plant. It's still potent enough to increase the firepower of these weapons. But when it on impact, it becomes this micro fine dust, which gets into the sand, which gets into the water, which gets into people's lungs, and it stays there. And it causes birth defects, it causes tumors, it causes cancer. It is, remember the Gulf War syndrome from the first war? That's depleted uranium poisoning that these men and women are suffering from. But the DOD will not admit it because then it's a liability issue and they'd have to treat these people. But they keep on, we give these weapons to Israel, we give these weapons to lots of other countries, and then they drop them all over the world, and we are essentially involved in nuclear war ourselves. We are dropping weapons of mass destruction. Anyway, I have one of the young men here from Iraq Veterans Against the War who was part of that, the Pentagon Five. They were arrested for leaving this information about depleted uranium. I'm wondering if you'd like to speak with him.
Oh, I'd love to, yes, of
course. Okay, he's right here. His name is Jeff Millard.
Okay.
So Scott Berglund from Cottage Level
4. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Jeff. Boy, this is a nice surprise. The Pentagon Five, that sounds so significant. It sounds like, did you expect to have these kind of repercussions from simply leaving a flyer in the chapel?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, when we decided to go to the Pentagon that day, we never expected to get arrested. The arrest came as quite a bit of a surprise. We just went there to go on the 9/11 tour, just like any other American would go to the 9/11 tour. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is, though, is that we showed up wearing T-shirts that said Iraq Veterans Against the War and Veterans for Peace, and immediately the U.S. attorney decided to have warrants waiting for us, just in case we did anything wrong. And while we went through, there was an area which had a number of political pamphlets to include how to survive the military as a Christian, and I thought that since the Pentagon makes decisions on dropping depleted uranium every single day, they might want to have a little bit of information on what the effects of depleted uranium are, especially considering the fact I walk with a cane in part because of depleted uranium poisoning.
Wow. Well, if you don't mind, let's drop back a little bit. Could you share with folks when you were in Iraq and the situation for yourself that you find yourself in now?
Well, I was in Iraq from October of 2004 till October of 2005.
Okay.
And I was in Tikrit, Iraq with the 42nd Infantry Division. And on my base, there was a junkyard, basically, of old Iraqi Army tanks and our vehicles, which have had depleted uranium rounds pierce them and have been lined with depleted uranium rounds or depleted uranium armor. And I was exposed to that for the entire duration of my tour of duty in Iraq. And now I have degenerative bone disease in two of the vertebrae of my spine, in addition to a number of other ailments, but those being that being the concrete ailment that is easily linkable to depleted uranium, though the VA doesn't admit that depleted uranium actually hurts veterans at all, despite
right.
the fact that in the first Gulf War, there were only 7,000 wounded soldiers from the war itself, but yet there are over 500,000 now collecting permanent disability from the Gulf War.
Yeah, that's one of those incredible numbers. And, of course, the with what is going on in Iraq now, one can only imagine the numbers will be just substantially higher. Yes.
Depleted uranium is going to kill thousands of veterans from this war, not to mention what it's going to do to the Iraqi people. The Iraqi people are going to see cancer rates that this world has never seen.
Right.
We are dropping more depleted uranium rounds in Iraq than we have ever dropped anywhere on the planet. Their cancer rates in Iraq are going to go up higher than we saw in Japan post-World War II. It is something that the American people need to realize, and it's something that the people at the Pentagon, those officers, granted the Pentagon is one of the few military installations which the officers outnumber the enlisted. And those officers who make decisions on a daily basis of the lives of the enlisted personnel below them need to realize that they are killing both officers and enlisted personnel across the world, as well as civilians, by using depleted uranium rounds. And the information I left was simply informative pamphlets. There was no political message to it. It was simply information and pictures of birth defects which are related to depleted uranium.
So you said basically that they were laying in wait for you, basically waiting for you to do something that they could then, they already had warrants for. Did they then scribble in on it?
We were told by arresting officers that the U.S. Attorney already had warrants waiting for us to do something wrong. They just had to fill in the charge.
Okay. So did they hold you for any length of time?
We were detained for 2 hours, and we were charged with failure to follow a lawful order and posting of materials.
Posting of materials. Okay. And what was the lawful order that...
Four of the five of us were given an order, were told by police that we were not allowed to distribute that literature.
Okay.
They did not say we were not allowed to set it down. They said we were not allowed to distribute it. We were not allowed to hand it to people. We were not charged with handing it to people. We were charged with setting it down. I actually was never even given that warning because, as I said, I walk with a cane and not at the same pace as some of the others in my group.
Well, it's all very interesting, and it's all part of, we've seen this for the years of the Bush administration anyway, that anyone that shows any signs of being against what the administration stands for is either watched really closely or arrested, from people wearing T-shirts to various events to whatever, or just excluded.
Yeah, it seems to me pretty obvious that we're living in 1939 Germany, and Americans at this point have a pretty simple choice. You can either be a good little German or you can be a proper citizen, and being a proper citizen could land you in jail. But I'll tell you, when they come for me, I won't be the last one.
Right. So, I can't imagine how this feels as a person who gave a year of their life and actually is now giving more physically as repercussions to be arrested for basically what is an act of freedom of speech.
Yeah, you would think it would be an act of freedom of speech, but in Washington it seems as though freedom of speech can be curtailed despite what the Constitution says about it.
Mm-hmm. So, Jeff, you are a member of
I'm a member of Iraq Veterans Against the War.
Right. And this is obviously a fairly new organization.
Well, it's an international organization. It's dated back almost 3 years now.
Okay.
And we just opened up our Toronto chapter, making us an international organization of Iraq war veterans, those who have refused to go to Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. And at this point, we, as far as my knowledge is concerned, we are the second largest Iraq and Afghanistan veterans organization in the entire country.
Right.
And it just shows you the amount that GIs in this war right now are dissatisfied with the way that it's going, and it shows you that this war is truly tearing apart our military, and if anyone in this country loves their military, they really need to oppose this war, because it's destroying our non-commissioned officer corps, it's destroying our officer corps, and it's destroying the base of support for the military in this country.
Right. So it sounds like you, if a Iraq veteran from Britain, for example, do you have members from Britain? So you're open to veterans from the Iraq war from various...
We have not yet had that complication, but we welcome that bridge when it comes.
Well, obviously, overwhelmingly in Iraq, the soldiers in the so-called coalition of the willing are from the United States, so it makes sense that that's the base for the support. What's your sense of prognosis? I mean, where are we at? What do you think it's going to take to finally end this thing?
I think it's going to take things like exactly what those of us who came to Congressman DeFazio's office today are doing. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take people, concerned citizens, taking back their government. I came to Washington, D.C. for Camp Democracy because I wanted accountability in this country. I wanted our Congress to be back in the power of the people. We want to take control of our legislative branch. And the fact of the matter is that our legislative branch has been not listening to the will of its people. It's been voting against the will of its people by continuously funding an illegal and immoral war in Iraq. And so it's going to take people taking back their government, taking back their democracy. Democracy can only govern with the consent of the governed. And if we revoke consent, they can no longer govern us. And we need to revoke consent for those who do not speak for us. We live in a representative democracy, and when they stop representing us in that democracy, then we need to revoke consent for them to be authorized to represent us.
Right, and this is, with elections coming up, this is a good time to enact that revocation.
It very much is.
All right. Well, we appreciate everything you're doing. Appreciate the time you served, even though, you know, I believe and many believe, it sounds like you do, it's a... I'm glad you got back, let's put it that way, and I think that what I hope that will happen with your serving will actually be a big part of turning our country in a different direction.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and good luck there in the Congressman's office, and I do appreciate your taking time to share with us your thoughts, Jeffrey.
All right, thank you very much.
You bet.
I ended this conversation by talking with Jeffrey Millard, who's an Iraq veteran against the war, and, of course, Iraq veteran. And also, before that, Leah Bolger, who's a Veterans for Peace from Corvallis. They are both in Washington, D.C., and at the time were both in Congressman Peter DeFazio of Oregon's office, pushing for a resolution of the problem, the situation that Suzanne Swift, Specialist Suzanne Swift, is in. She's at Fort Lewis in Washington State, confined to base, while they supposedly are investigating her her situation in terms of her AWOL, but also her claims of sexual assault while in Iraq. They are sitting in Peter DeFazio's office to bring pressure on the congressman to finally do something in terms of requesting an investigation and information on where the investigation's at in terms of the Army. The phone numbers that you can call to help Suzanne Swift are two numbers for Peter DeFazio, Congressman Peter DeFazio of Oregon, in Washington, D.C., 202-225-6416. That's 202-225-6416. In Oregon, you can call toll-free 1-800-944-9603.